Your Bibles tonight to the book of Philemon. Book of Philemon. We started last week just going through the book a little bit, giving a little bit of introduction. We didn't make it all the way through. And tonight we're going to finish up a little bit of the introduction, talk about how Christ was our substitution and for our sin a little bit. And then we're going to look at the change that God made in Onesimus's life. So looking forward to going through this. And then we're still going to probably spend one more week, even next week, looking a little bit about forgiveness and from the side of the story of Philemon here. It's interesting. I think it's really just an interesting story. I entitled the series An Interesting Story, Part 1 last week, Part 2 this week. If you were not here, we're going to go over a little bit of the background once again, kind of go through a little quickly. And then I think we left off last week somewhere around verse 15, 16, and going to pick up there and go through some more. And then we at least have another week, maybe a couple weeks in there. We knew we have had a month here in between now and Bible conference. After Bible conference, we'll start into a new series of one way or another. But I didn't want to, Lord, let lay this upon my heart, because it's such a wonderful story about the gospel and shows what God can do in a changed life. And with our upcoming Friend Day, and you think about some of the hard cases, people that we don't think would ever get saved. This is a runaway slave that and got right with God while in prison, it seems like, and how God made a transformation and a change in their life, and just looking forward to jumping back into the story. So a little background here. Paul is writing this letter on behalf of Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave who had ran away from his owner Philemon. And we know that Philemon's a believer, and we know that Philemon is a man of good character. Look what it says in verses 5 through 7 about him again. I like these verses. Look at the description that's given about Philemon. It says, "Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints." So he has a love and faith towards the Lord. Praise the Lord for that, but also to the saints and the other believers. Verse number 6, "that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus." I really like that verse. I've never heard anybody ever preach a whole message on that verse, but there's a lot of good things in there about making the communication of our faith is becoming effectual. And how does that happen? It's when we acknowledge of every good thing which is in you, which is in Christ Jesus. It's just there's a lot of things to how we can be effective in sharing our faith when we understand that everything that's good about us is coming from the Lord. Verse number 7, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." So I guess a wonderful testimony gives you a picture of who this slave owner is. Now, go back in the Roman century, we think that most people today, you know, slave owners are all evil, all wicked. But back in the way of things that the Romans worked back then, they had probably 60 million different slaves in that time period. And people would use these people as workers and things like that. And so here we see Christians that had slaves or people that were servants of theirs. It may be even a better word to use as a servant. And Philemon here, he's a good guy. There is verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, talking about how wonderful a man he is. Well, Onesimus, he's not a very good servant. We looked at that last week. He runs away, but he was not a profitable servant to begin with. And in verse number 10, we see that Onesimus meets Paul. He says, "I beseech you for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds." And then when I told you last week, most people believe that Onesimus probably got to Rome, did something wrong, was thrown in jail. He met Paul. And that's the cool story side of it. Now, we don't have to be sure. Maybe Onesimus heard Paul speak while he was in bond some other way. Sometimes he had the ability to preach out even while he was in bonds. I like to think that, you know, he met Onesimus in jail. Paul was a constant witness, whether even when he was in bonds. He refers to him as a son in verse number 10 because he's his son in the faith. And he says it happened while he was in jail, Paul wins into Christ. Verse number 11, it says, "which in time past we was to thee unprofitable," meaning that he wasn't a good servant. Obviously, he ran away, but in times past he was unprofitable, meaning he was a bad servant, meaning he was lazy, had a bad attitude. "But now profitable to thee and me." So he's writing this letter and he's saying, okay, I'm writing on behalf of Onesimus. Verses 8 and 9 talks about, hey, I could have told you what you should do as the apostle, but I want you to do this out of love. I want you to receive Onesimus, not as a servant anymore, just the servant, but also as a brother. And we'll keep on going. In verse number 13, he says, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. He says, look, he's been somebody who's been good to me. He's been profitable. He's been a minister unto me. And that word minister is not talking about being a preacher unto him. It's the guy who's taking care of him. So it's not like the job that everybody's lining up to do. It's taking care of the guy that's in prison. He says, he's been really good to me. He says, but I would not keep him unless it was okay with you. And verse 15 is where we finished off last week. It says, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season that he shouldest receive him forever, that thou shouldest receive him forever. So it comes back to, look, maybe all this happens so that way he could meet me, become a Christian, become a believer, and now he can come back and he can be your servant now forever. And he's saying, look at the big picture of things, Philemon. You're getting ready to have this guy come back. And why is Paul writing this letter? Because under the law, Philemon can do whatever he wants to Onesimus. He's a slave. And if you read the story, as we mentioned last week, he probably stole some things as he was leaving to help him on the journey. And many times, most slaves would be put to death for stealing, number one. But to be a runaway slave and to be coming back, he would definitely be put to death or put through some type of punishment and severe punishment. So Paul is writing this letter saying, hey, look, I know what you can do. And as the apostle, I have the authority to tell you what I think you should do. But I want you to consider this. And I rather, out of love, verse number 9, he says, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such as a Paul the age, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Looked at last week a little bit about being a prisoner, being enslaved to sin versus being a servant of Christ. How Onesimus, even though he had his freedom, he still was a slave to sin and slave to self. Even though Paul was in the prison cell and in bonds, he was still more free than anyone else because he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So let's jump in here. Verse number 16. And Paul is saying, hey, look, that thou should receive him forever. In verse number 15, he says, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He says, I want you to receive him back. And I want you to receive him back, not just as a servant. I want you to receive him as a brother in the Lord. Now, does that mean that he no longer is going to have to serve? No, of course, that's his responsibility. But he is now has been changed. He's no longer just a servant. He is now also a brother in the Lord. Because remember, there were people in these churches that were the slave owners and also the servants, the servant owners and also the servants too, going to the same church. And they talk about how they should treat one another. You know, you serve your master as you're serving the Lord. The master, remember, you know, as you treat your servant, that they're brothers. So there's truth that's found here. And he's saying, look, when you're coming back, I want you to receive him not just as any other servant, but now so much more as a brother. And this is verse 17. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. So he says, I want you to view him as me. If you really consider me as your partner, and most people believe in the story of Philemon, he's writing this letter, he's learned that either he had a part in winning Philemon. Most people believe that someone he had won had began this church and went from Colossae to down to Philemon's house, and that there was a part there that he's saying, look, we're partnering together. You would view me as a brother. You would view me as someone that was worthy to accept. He says, I want you to accept him also. And he says in verse number 18, this is one of the more familiar verses. It says, if he have wronged thee. And he has. Obviously, he has stolen from them. He's not questioning whether or not that he's having. He's saying, look, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. So what he's saying is, I know he's wronged you. I know he's done sin, but I want you to receive him as if you were receiving me. And if he's done wrong to you, if he has stolen from you, which he has, if he has done harm to you, I want you to take those things and I want you to put that on my account. He doesn't want him to overlook the legal things. He does not want to overlook the wrong, but Paul is saying, I will pay that back. I want you to put that on my account. I will take care of that. And then he continues verse number 19. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand, and I will repay it. So he's not just saying, here, oh, I'll take care of it. And he's saying, no, I'm going to pay back the things that he owes you. And Paul, as most people believe, as we talked about before, probably having an eye problem, most times people would write the letters for him, he would tell them what to write. He's writing this with his own hand because he wants it to be personal. He says, I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. He says, I'm not saying, hey, look, I want you to pay back the debt. He says, no. I will pay whatever it is that I owe, whatever it is. Verse number 20, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. He says, I want you to do this because if you do this, it's gonna refresh me. And I'm gonna have joy in the Lord. I'm gonna have joy in you because you're acting like the Lord. Verse 21, having confidence in thy obedience, I write unto thee, knowing that thou will also do more than I say. He says, I know you already. I already know that you're not only going to do this, but you're going to even do more because of the testimonies we heard in verses 5 through 7. But, he says, withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayer I shall be given unto you. It's talking about, hey, look, I'm praying. Paul, when you read through the different stories, Paul wanted to be everywhere. He's like, hey, I want to get to Rome. Hey, I want to come to Philippi again. Hey, I want to, hey, get it ready here. Get your house ready. Once again, he was probably a wealthy man. He probably had the means to be able to take care of him and the group that was traveling with him. But he wanted to be ministering everywhere. He wanted to serve the Lord. And he had people that he had helped win to Christ. He had people that were in churches and all those other things that he had began. And he wanted to be there and he wanted to be serving. He says, hey, get a bed ready for me. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, ask God's help tonight, and then we'll look a little bit about this interesting story, part number two. Dear Holy Father, Lord, help us tonight. I know I need your help. It's such a great story. At the same time, Lord, there's some wonderful truths that we can really think about and we consider, and they're life-changing. When we consider how Paul was saying, hey, put that on my account, and how what Christ did for us and the similarity that's there. Lord, it just reminds us how good you are to us. Lord, I pray tonight that you work in our hearts and minds as we consider some evangelistic type outreach into others. We see the story of Onesimus and the change that you made in their life, and we know some people that are hard. We know some people that maybe they're not runaway slaves, but at the same time, there are some really difficult cases. And when we see Paul being a witness and a minister to them and winning them in Christ, change that happened in their life, it encourages us. And encourages us that there is no such thing as a hard case with God, and that you can do all things and you can change, Lord, as people are responsive to you. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, just here, I want you to think a little bit about the verse that's found in verse number 17, 18. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he have wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. So Paul is offering to pay his debt for him. He says, I want you to put that on my account. I will repay it. Onesimus could not have paid back Philemon. You think about it, if he would have went back as a servant to Philemon, he probably didn't make much money. So if he would have been responsible to take the money he stole and all the time that he had already spent while in Rome doing whatever he was doing, and then in prison again, he's heading back to Philemon, and he has no way to pay this debt. It's impossible for him. And so that's why Paul is saying, hey, look, I want you to receive him. I want you not to just receive him as a servant. I want you to receive him even more as a brother. And he says, if you count myself as a partner, I want you to receive him as if it was me. And the Bible clearly teaches that restitution should be made when someone steals something. And Paul deals with the issue of restitution and justice by asking Philemon to accept him as you would me. If he owes you anything, charge it to my account. Here we see one of the greatest illustrations of the substitutionary death of Christ. Paul's appeal was powerful because he stands right beside him and he says, okay, I know he's done wrong. I know he's been bad. I know he's done these wrong things for you, but I want to take his punishment. I want to be the one that is going to stand beside him and take the punishment for him. Paul's willingness to meet Onesimus' debt to restore his relationship with Philemon is a marvelous picture of Christ's work and what Christ did. Philemon had wronged Onesimus. Philemon had been wronged by Onesimus, just like we have wronged God, just like the human race has wronged God. So Philemon, like God, had been wronged. Onesimus, like a sinner, stood in need of reconciliation. Somehow he needed to reconcile this relationship with Philemon, and he was not going to do it on his own. Now, I'm not saying that Philemon is God, and I'm not saying that Onesimus is just a picture type that's here. It's something that we can help understand. Paul offers to pay the price to bring about that reconciliation. That is the same role that Jesus Christ paid in the relationship between us as a sinner and God. Paul was like Christ in paying the reconciliation part. He intervened. He says, hey, look, I want you to accept him as myself, and whatever he has done wrong, whatever he owes you, I want you to take all those things, and I want you to hold him accountable for it. I want you to place that on my account. I want to take his punishment. I want to pay his debt. Now, Paul was willing to suffer the temporal consequences of Onesimus' sins as Christ was willing to suffer the eternal consequences of our sin. The sinner is received on the same standing that Christ has received, and that we are accepted in the beloved. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Think about what it says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard that picture, ever seen a preacher paint a scene of a courtroom, and how you have an attorney there, and that the Satan is the prosecutor, and that you're the defendant, and the Satan gets up, and he's there, and he's making all these wicked accusations about it, all the sin that you have done, and is saying that he shouldn't get to go to heaven. But you have as the defendant, everything he says is true, but you have a advocate. You have a defense attorney in a sense, which would be Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ can say, yes, everything that he is saying is true, but I have paid that debt. I have been the one, here's with the blood of Jesus Christ, I have paid the debt. You can see the scars that no longer are they guilty of those things. I've paid the debt that's already been paid. Jesus stands in the courtroom of God as our defense attorney, and as Satan accuses the brethren, he lays out our sins. Jesus agrees that they are guilty. He did all that, but you can charge that to Jesus' account because he paid the price on Calvary. Now, that word propitiation means satisfaction, that Jesus' death on the cross satisfied the righteous requirement of a holy God for sin. He covered our sin debt. It was paid in full. So Jesus is there, and he's saying, and once again, it's a picture, I paid the debt. It's no longer a debt anymore. And that's what Paul is saying with Onesimus and with Philemon. He's like, you know what? I know he's done you wrong. I know he sinned against you. And I know he owes you, and he owes you a lot, but I want you to give me that debt. I will pay it. I want you to receive him as a brother. I want you to receive him as myself. And when Jesus came to this world, we had sinned against God. We had wronged God. There was a debt that we could not pay on our own, and that Jesus came, and he paid our sin debt for us. If we will put our faith and trust in it, it is sufficient for all those who will believe in him. It was sufficient for the whole world, but it's only for those who have put their faith and trust in him. Onesimus had a change in his life because of what Jesus Christ did. And that's just such a great verse in number 18. It's just a wonderful picture there. And when you think about it, Paul was being kind. Paul was writing this letter. Paul could have said, I'm going to force you to do this. I want you to accept Onesimus. Imagine if Philemon had done that. He accepted Onesimus. Paul told him to do that, and he put him back to work. The relationship wouldn't have been recovered. But when Paul says, hey, look, I'm going to, he says, put that on my account. Then he says, I will repay it. It wasn't this idea, okay, just go ahead and charge it to me, and Paul wasn't planning on paying it. No, Paul's saying, look, I will take care of this debt. When I see you, everything will be taken care of. Everything will be paid for. I want you to receive him as a brother. I don't want you to ever consider, ever look at him again that he has stolen from you and that he owes you something. He is justified as if he had never done anything wrong, is what Paul was saying. I want you to receive him as a brother in Christ. And that's what Jesus did for us. We are justified because of what he did. He was made sin for us, so that way we would not, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I know this might sound a little bit more like a Sunday morning message and people needing to be saved, but you never know who's in the crowd on a Wednesday night. There's sometimes people that play church all their lives and they truly need to repent and get right with God. And he became sin. Christ became sin for us. He knew no sin. So that way we could become the righteousness. We could have the righteousness, be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And we went through Ephesians chapter 1 and looked through Ephesians chapter number 2, what we have in Christ. Paul's not asking Philemon to forgive and forget. He is saying, forgive because I will pay that debt for you. What a wonderful story. What a wonderful illustration. Now I want you to think for just a few moments the change that happened in Onesimus' life from being an unprofitable servant to a profitable servant. You say, Pastor, why? Well, you think about it. How many of us know people that need to be saved? We probably would all raise our hands. Oh, I know somebody. How many of us have a hard case? Somebody who maybe you've witnessed to, maybe you've invited to church 100 times, or someone who you would think that person is never, ever getting right with God. I'm guessing Philemon might have thought that about Onesimus. I don't know for sure. But a lazy servant that was unprofitable, who had a bad attitude to begin with, had the nerve, and once again, Philemon doesn't have the testimony of being a hard taskmaster, does he? He has a testimony of being a person who loves God and loves the brethren. And I know at that point in time, maybe his servants weren't brethren, but if you got the love of God in your heart, you're going to treat people right. I can't see Philemon being someone we think of slave master or servant master. We think of the whips and we think of this and we think of that. And I understand why people feel that way. But back in this Roman culture, that's not the way I believe Philemon would have been. This man had a bad attitude and he was lazy and he stole these things and he went on his way and he was unprofitable. Now he becomes profitable. Man, what a change God can make. I don't know about you, but I know I still got so many problems, so many issues, but I see God changing me all the time and making me what he wants me to be. And I know some of your stories of what you used to be like and what God's made you now and what God is always continually working. And we've become where we were unprofitable, where God couldn't use us at all as being dead in our trespasses and sin. And he makes that transformation in our life where we become profitable. How does that happen? One of the first things I want you to think about, these are three things I think are really helpful in the change. There was a confession made. Pastor, where do you see a confession at? There's no confession from Onesimus here. Well, how did Paul know that he was an unprofitable servant? He had to tell him, didn't he? I mean, somehow Paul found out that Onesimus was unprofitable. It wasn't the fact it was written on his forehead. Like last week talked about sometimes when a slave would run away that they would imprint something on his forehead because they ran away. If they caught, they would firebrand him on his forehead if they did not kill him. He was unprofitable because he would have confessed that to Paul. He would have told Paul. He would have considered that when Paul said he went from unprofitable to profitable, he would have said, hey, you know, I was a slave or I was a servant of Philemon and I had a bad attitude and I wasn't the greatest worker in the world and I did all these things wrong and I stolen things. I think he would have told Paul his complete story, because when a person's getting right with God, there's something that's in their heart and there's something there. Yes, you confess it before the Lord and you don't have to confess it before men, but you read that letter that's being written about Onesimus to Philemon, you get this idea. I know he was improbable. I know he did these things. He has told me these things, but I don't want you to think of him this way anymore. I don't want you to think of him as unprofitable anymore. I wanted to tell you the change that's happened in his life. I want you to see him as I see him and the person he is now, because yes, he used to be unprofitable. He used to be that way, but now consider what's happened in his life. So the first thing I want you to think about when a person's going to get their heart right and a person's going to get their life straight and have a change in God, there's going to be a confession. The first thing you need to do is understand what? That you're a sinner. You're in need of a Savior. If a person does not understand that they are a sinner, or does not feel conviction of their sin, I don't really truly believe there is going to be a conversion there. They have to understand that there is a need, that you're a sinner, and that you're lost, and the fact that you are that you need Christ. And because your sins have separated, there should be a conviction. It shouldn't be just, hey, read after me and say this prayer. Hey, you get to go to heaven. There is an understanding that I need Him, and I'm putting my faith in Him. If you don't see that there's a need, you're never going to put your faith and trust in Him. And here in this story, he's saying, yes, he used to be unprofitable, but now he's profitable. How do you know he's unprofitable? Because there was a confession that was made. And next thing I want you to think about, there was a change, or some people would use the word repentance here. And you say, where do you see the word repentance? Well, we know what repentance means. It means to do a turnabout face. It's a, you know, it's a turnaround. It's when you turn to God. Well, Onesimus, where was he going? He was leaving Philemon, wasn't he? He was headed this way. And when he met Paul and he got saved, guess where he turned around and went back to? He went back to Philemon. Now, don't get me wrong here. He was trying to get away from Philemon, and there wasn't some armed guard taking Onesimus back to Philemon. There's been a change in his life, and he no longer, yes, before he wanted to get away from that place, but guess where he wants to go now? He wants to get things right with Philemon. He wants to get back there. Most commentators, and maybe not most, some commentators I was reading thinks that it was Onesimus that would have went to Paul and said, hey, this is what I did. Hey, don't you think I should go back to Philemon and get things right? And so there is a repentance, there is a turning around, and just as a salvation is when we turn to God, and the Bible uses the word repentance, sometimes people take and make too much of it, and sometimes people take and make too little of it, but as a person turning to God, and what this change, you see the change is there's a confession, but then you see the repentance that happens. He wants to get back to Philemon. So well, how do you know that he wants to get back to Philemon? Well, he never had to take the ladder home. I mean, he could have just left Rome and went anywhere he wanted to go. Paul's in jail. Paul's not going to go after him. He goes and he returns to Philemon because there's been a change in his heart and a change in his life. Third thing I want you to see, not only was this confession and I see repentance in this story, the change, I see the care for someone else. The care for someone else. You go here and you look at verse number 13 and he says, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. I don't know about you, but think about if I'm Philemon, I'm reading this letter. There's somebody coming and he's coming down the road and it's that dirty, rotten scoundrel Onesimus. But he says, what are you doing here? And there was probably somebody with him as they were carrying. It wouldn't have been an armed guard forcing him to come, but there was people who would carry letters and they would travel together. And Philemon sees him and he hands him this letter and Philemon's looking at him and probably hiding all this good stuff because he doesn't want to get stolen. And he's reading this letter and he's thinking, I remember Onesimus. And he wouldn't do anything. He was a lazy bum. He stole from me. And then he sees letters from Paul. And he's reading all these little, yeah, say hi to your wife, say hi to your son, and blah, blah, blah. Oh, he say all those nice words about me. And then he starts reading, wait a second, Onesimus used to be unprofitable, and now he's profitable. And he keeps on reading, he was my minister while I was in jail. He's like, who is this guy? I don't know who this guy is. Could you imagine what Philemon would have been thinking about the change that must have happened in Onesimus' life? And he's there and he's reading all the way down and he says, now I want you to accept him. I don't want you to think of him as a servant, but more than a servant, a brother. And then he says, you count me as a partner. And there's a reason why you count me as a partner. I want you to count him as a partner. Because Paul viewed him as someone that was a minister to him. But Onesimus, when he left his house, he was a thief. He was dirty. He was lazy. He had a bad attitude. He was somebody that Nobody wanted to be there, and he left. But look at the change that God's made, and he's returning, and he's saying, hey, look, I know I've done wrong. And then Paul is standing right, I know he's not standing right beside him, but he's saying, he says, look, if he owes you something, I know he's done you wrong. I know he's a sinner, but you know what? Put that on my account. Don't look at him that way. There's been a change in this man's life, and he can help you. He can be a blessing to you. He can be a partner with you. Look at that change. It went from a confession to a repentance to, hey, look, he cares about me now. Before you couldn't get him to do anything that you wanted him to do. Now, by his own choice, not because someone makes him, but by his own choice, he comes to me while I'm in the prison and while I'm in the bounds and while no one else is really wants to take care of me. No one else really wants to be around me because there's times when he says, hey, I'm here alone and I'm in prison. It's a lonely place. He would come and he would refresh me. He would come and be a minister to me. Look what it says in verse 13, whom I have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. And then he says in verse number 12, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, in my own bowels. And he was, verse 14, but without, I'm sure I'm going to get to it sooner or later, but without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were a necessity, but willing. For perhaps, therefore, he departed for a season that thou shouldest receive him forever. He was saying, Philemon, what I wrote about you in verse 5, and what I wrote about you in verse 6 and 7, the love that you show the brethren, the refreshing of the bowels that I hear, I get the joy from your testimony, that's what Onesimus has become. He does that for me now. That's the change that God made in his life. I know all you can see him as is just some dirty, wicked, old servant that stole from you. And if he ever came back, he would be punished. But he's changed. And you say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm telling you that God can make that change in someone's life. God can make that change in anyone's life. And we should be willing to go out and tell people, even though Onesimus is of the world. Once again, the cool story, you think about Paul's there and he's in bonds, he's in jail, and they rotate people in to see him, and he's there and he's witnessing to them, and that's how Onesimus hears it, and Onesimus gets discipled, and Onesimus gets out of prison, because how else can he minister to Paul? How else can he be sprung free to go back to Philemon? And I know you can maybe come up with some different scenarios, but in my mind, that's probably the way that it happened, but there's been a change in his life. Praise the Lord for that. So how does that happen? It's when you are willing to confess to the Lord and turn to God. God can make you a change to where you care about other people. Now, I know that that's speaking much about salvation, but I also want to tell you that if we want to get our hearts right with God, if somehow we've gone a little bit away from him, we're going to have to say, okay, God, I know I've done wrong. Not going to be making excuses. Many times we got a world full of excuses, got a world full of people that have, it's my mom's fault, it's my dad's fault, it's this person's fault, it's the government's fault, it's my pastor's fault, it's my mate's fault. We have a world full of excuses, but when sin is sin in our lives, we need to be truly broken. As David said, you know, I've sinned against you and you only, God. In Psalms 51, God is, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken heart, a broken and contrite heart, O God, that will not despise. You know, if we are away from God today, we need to confess it. And I know you don't have to get saved again, but we have to be honest with God, and we have to say, you know what? Sin is sin, and there's sin in my life. I am not going to be putting up that sin. And just like it says in Proverbs, I'm going to confess that. I'm going to forsake that. I'm going to become, go back to God, and I'm going to become someone who cares about the brethren. I really like the story of Onesimus because of the change that God made. Philemon was doing well. He's a good guy, but I can just imagine him opening that letter up and saying, he's talking about Onesimus. I can imagine Onesimus walking up that driveway, holding this letter, not knowing what's going to happen. He could have ran off. He could have went somewhere else. No one was going to go chasing after him. But he wanted to get right with Philemon, and he knew there might be consequences, but he said, you know what? It's worth it. So tonight, how about those people in our lives that we want to see their hearts change? I don't know about you. my mom and dad, and once again, I don't think I'm the greatest preacher in the world, and I don't think I'm the greatest pastor in the world, but my mom and dad think I am. And that's their own fault. I know that. But my mom and dad love me. My mom and dad think I'm the... And they, every time I get on the phone, my mom starts crying most of the time, and she's thankful for what I'm doing, and she remembers what I was, what I used to act like. Every time she sees my wife, she hugs her and says, thank you. And you know what she's saying, thank you? Thank you for taking him away. You have him. You can't send him back. He is all yours. I am just thankful for the change God's made in my life. And I'm thankful that what God, the change that God can make in our lives too. And if there hasn't been a change, there's something wrong. If there hasn't been a change in your life and God isn't still working in your heart to make you more like his son every single day, there's something going on there. I want to encourage you tonight. This story encourages me about Onesimus. What he was, what he became, and how he was willing to go back to that owner of his, not knowing what was going to happen, knowing it was well within his right to put him to death, to put a big letter on his forehead, to, you know, whatever he wanted to do. And Paul says, you know the way you act, Philemon? That's the way Onesimus treats me. And man, I don't know about you, but that would like, really? Maybe he went out, as it said in verse number 15, perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Maybe this is the whole reason why he left, was so that he could find, that God could bring him to us, he get saved, he get transformed. Now he can go back, and you don't have to just have a servant anymore. You have someone that is a brother, a partner, and someone who acts just like you do. Now you can go serve twice as many people. I don't know about you, I like to see some people have that happen in their lives. Now, I've told you before a couple different times about, you know, things, you know, do we know if he met in jail? No. Do we know if Onesimus ever made it back to Philemon? Well, the letter's there somehow, in some way. And if it wasn't successful, I don't think they would have put it in the Bible. So you can think what you want, but I think he made it back, and I think it went well. And the name Onesimus is actually mentioned in church history a couple times. We do not know if it's the same Onesimus. So don't, some preacher, you know those preachers that don't really care about the facts, they get up and say, this is the same guy. I'm not one of those guys. But I like to think that this Onesimus is the same Onesimus, that he ended up being a pastor or a church in Ephesus. Think about that. He went from being a slave that stole to being in jail with Paul, to going back to Philemon, and God allowing him to possibly pastor a church. Could that happen? It sure could. Has it happened before? It sure has. I know people that were in jail that are pastors today, and praise the Lord for that. And you think about, did it ever take effect? Did it ever change? Well, historical evidence, there is a man that was getting ready to be martyred that wrote a letter to the pastor Onesimus of a church in Ephesus. And you can think it's that, or you can think it's not, but no matter if it's the same guy or not, God could definitely do that. Tonight, I want to encourage you to pray for those hard cases. I want to encourage you to just thank the Lord during invitation time and throughout the rest of the night. God, thank you for the change you made in my life. And then I also want you to consider, is there something in your life that you need to confess before God? The Bible says, if you confess it, right? He's faithful and just, isn't he? To forgive us of those sins. But we got to confess it. And confessing it means that we're going to agree with God. And if we're truly sincere about it, we're going to repent of it and we're going to forsake it. And then God can make us start caring for other people. Get rid of the excuses. Start becoming someone that says, hey, I want to return to the master. He loves me. He's going to do right by me. Tonight, who is your heart case? Why don't we start praying for them? And then maybe in the next few weeks, God will give us an open door to invite them to our friend day. And even if they don't live here, God could give them an open door that brings somebody in their lives so they can have the change. So that way, someday, you can get the same testimony that Philemon got. God's done a work in my life. Can he do it? That's what he did with Onesimus. He ran away. He probably got in trouble in Rome, got thrown in prison, and met a guy named Paul. But more importantly, he met Jesus. And there was a change in his life. And I still imagine Philemon writing, opening up that letter and reading that letter saying, Onesimus? This guy Onesimus? I don't believe it. He's standing there with a big smile on his face, knowing that he had somebody supporting him. Man, Jesus put our sin on his account. Have you put your faith and trust in him? It's sufficient, but it becomes effective when we put our faith and trust in him, the Bible teaches us. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation tonight.